chapter 6 and verse 36, and we'll read through verse 40. It says, "And Gideon said unto God, If thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor, and if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said." And it was so, for he rose up early on the morrow, and thrust the fleece together, and wringed the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. And Gideon said unto God, "Let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew." And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. I've been reading recently through the book of Judges, and I've even been highlighting different principles from my reading to my children each night as we do family Bible time. And I also want to take tonight's message out of the book of Judges. And I want us to look at this very familiar account here of Gideon and some things that we can learn from it. Most of us think, most of us, when we are thinking about determining the will of God, we probably will consider this passage. But I think it's important for us to realize that throwing down a fleece, as they say, now Gideon, he did it literally, but sometimes we use that term kind of symbolically, but throwing down a fleece should not be the starting point in determining the will of God. We might not want to consider it as an option at all, but at the very most, we would want to put it at the end of our criteria in determining the will of God. And so what I want to do tonight, at least to begin with, is to give some things that we ought not to use in determining the will of God. So we'll consider it negatively, and then we'll look at it positively, the things that we are to use to discern God's will, and then we'll try to make some practical application to what Gideon, or what the Bible says about Gideon here in this chapter. Again, what is to be used in determining the will of God? It may be unwise for us to use the following things exclusively. Here's the first: your heart. I think it's a very dangerous thing for us to use exclusively, or maybe even at all, our heart and its desires in determining the will of God. And this is why I say that. Jeremiah 17:9. "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" It's very difficult for us to know our own heart. It's deceitful. Now, if our hearts are right with God, and we're walking in fellowship with God, it might be possible for us to trust our heart. But the problem with relying upon our hearts exclusively in determining the will of God is that they're deceitful. And that's what that verse I just quoted tells us. The heart is deceitful above all things. It's possible that your heart deceives you into thinking that you're right with God. Your heart deceives you into thinking that you're walking in fellowship with God. And if you don't believe that, just go find a group of 10 people who call themselves Christians. Ask them if they think that they are walking in fellowship with God. Ask them whether or not their hearts are right with God. And probably 9 out of the 10 are going to say yes. But if you were to examine their lives very far at all, you'd probably discover that walking with God is the least of their priorities. You can't trust your heart. That's what the Bible tells us. In Proverbs 28 and verse 26, it says, "He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool." And so again, the person that says, "I've got to follow my heart." I didn't say it. The Bible said it, is a fool. It goes on to say, "But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered." It doesn't explain to us what would be considered someone who's walking wisely, but we can infer from the text that it's someone who does not follow their heart. They follow some other form, some other criteria in discerning God's will. BC, why don't you go sit there? You might help them out a little bit. So don't follow your heart. That's not something we want to use in determining God's will. What about your feelings? I believe it would also be unwise for us to exclusively consider our feelings when trying to determine or discern the will of God. Philippians 3:19 says this, and I'm just kind of lifting one verse. We could read the verses around it to get the context, but it says, "Whose end," it's talking about false teachers and such, "whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly." And this isn't the only time that you find this type of expression. But what it's referring to is someone who follows their feelings, follows their fleshly desires. And don't misunderstand me in what I'm about to say, but feelings are fleshly. And they're not always wrong. They're not always bad. I've heard people say often that God made us in emotional beings. And evidently that's true, because all of us have some form of emotion that we show at one time or another. Some are more emotional than others, but all of us exhibit emotion at different times. And that can be a good thing. When we hear an inspiring sermon, sometimes we're moved emotionally. Sometimes we're moved to tears, and that motivates us then to do the right thing. But I think, and I don't know that anybody's done an exhaustive examination of this, but if we look at people's lives in general and as a whole, when they're following their feelings, most of the time they're not following the precepts of the Word of God. Because our feelings can lead us astray. Our feelings are fickle. Our feelings change. They're subjective. Sometimes young people feel like instigating physical relationships with people of the opposite sex. They feel like doing that. And so that cannot be a good criteria upon which to determine the will of God. Sometimes adults feel like letting loose. It's a term I've used a few times recently. The Bible uses the word rioting, letting loose, taking off the tie, putting on the flip-flops, it's 5 o'clock, it's Friday night, let's go out and bust a move, as they say. Of course, those things wouldn't be very honoring to God, would they? Sometimes older adults feel like, I don't want to leave the older folks out. I said a couple weeks ago, we don't have any older folks in the church, but Mom and Dad are here now, so we have a couple. But sometimes older adults, they don't feel like their grandchildren should be spanked. But their feelings are wrong, aren't they? Sometimes a woman feels like getting a divorce. Sometimes a man feels like having an affair, but yet those things are not consistent with what the Bible teaches. So it can be very unwise for us to follow our feelings when trying to discern the will of God. You can't always trust them. You can't always trust your feelings. You cannot always trust your heart. Your heart is deceitful. Your feelings can be affected by the flesh. Therefore, it's not wise to follow these things in discerning the Lord's will. How about this? Your peers, your friends. Proverbs 1:10 says, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. doesn't mean that your friends are always going to steer you wrong. The Bible does say faithful are the wounds of a friend. Sometimes someone who's your friend, someone who's your peer, acts in your best interest and they rebuke you even though you might not like it too much. Sometimes you have such a friend and you ought to honor and appreciate them. But I don't think normally that's how our peers and our friends act. Most of the time, they completely overlook our faults, they minimize our sins, and they just accept us for who we are and don't dare criticize anything we do. By the way, those probably aren't the best of friends, because they'd let you walk straight into a pit without warning you that there's a big hole there. And I'm really even mentioning this because of what I'm going to say about discerning God's will positively. And so I'll contrast the two here in just a minute. But just let me say that it may not always be the wisest of things to listen to what your peers and your friends have to say. And I say this especially to the young people, because your peers are young people and they may not have the maturity and the experience and the knowledge of the Word of God to instruct you in a biblical manner. So again, some things you should not use in discerning God's will: your heart, your feelings, your friends, your peers. How about this? Your culture, or what you could say, the majority. Exodus 23:2 says, "Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil." That kind of goes along with the song that the young people sang a moment ago. Do right, no matter what everybody else does. Do right. What the majority feels is right is not always right. It might be right, but it seems that more often than not, the majority's wrong. It was the majority, perhaps you could say, there in Jerusalem that cried out, "Crucify him, crucify him," of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Daniel chapter 3, it said, at that time when all the people heard the sound of the cornet and the flute and the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshiped the golden image. Everybody did what King Nebuchadnezzar said, except for three. Except for three. It says in Esther in chapter 3, in verse 2, "And all the king's servants that were in the king's gate bowed and reverenced Haman." But it says, "But Mordecai bowed not." He didn't follow the majority. He did what was right. Just because everybody else was doing it, I know everybody's heard this before, it doesn't make it right. That's a bad criteria to determine God's will. Somebody says half the churches use this kind of music, half use this kind. That's right. That's why you can't determine what's right based on what people are doing. Bad, bad criteria. You can't use your reasoning exclusively either in discerning God's will. Proverbs 3:5, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not." You know, again, here is another example. The Bible is just not all positives, okay? It's not. It does say, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart," and that would be considered positive. But then it says, "And lean not unto thine own understanding." So it's got both, positive and negative, but we're focusing on the negative here for just a moment. "And lean not unto thine own understanding." You sit here and you have a decision to make, and you got to say, okay, what do I want to do? Well, let me try to reason it out in my mind so that I can determine the best course of action. that may not be the wisest thing to do. That is, if you want to follow God's will. Because the Bible tells us God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Sunday morning we looked at the rich young ruler. He had amassed a great deal of wealth. And if he would have reasoned things out in his own mind, and perhaps this is what he expected the Lord to say when he asked him, "What shall I do that I might inherit eternal life?" Maybe he thought that he should start some charity to feed the poor. Maybe he should have started a huge hospital to house the sick. Maybe that's what he was thinking. But Jesus said, "No. You go and sell all that you have and give to the poor and come and follow me." That's not what he had reasoned in his mind. And more often than not, if we base our decisions on our own reasoning rather than what they should be based upon, our reasoning will lead us astray. 1 Corinthians 3:18 says this, "Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise, for the wisdom of the world is foolishness with God." In other words, if we think we're smart, we're probably not. We're probably dumb. So again, you should not use these things exclusively or rely upon them heavily when discerning the will of God. Your heart, your feelings, your peers, the culture, your culture, the majority, or your reasoning. Instead, these are the things that you should consider, that you should use in discerning the will of God. The Bible. 2 Timothy 3:16, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God." We say it all the time. I hope we understand what it means to us practically, that the Scriptures are God's revelation to man. That's more than just a deep theological truth, folks. It means that the God, the Creator of the universe, took the time to reveal His will to us in this book. That's how important this book is. What are we going to live by? What principles are we going to live by? What truths are going to direct our lives? Is it going to be the truths and the principles that are found in this book? I hope so. Because they're from God Almighty. It says of the Scriptures that they're profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Or in other words, they are all that we need. They're all that we need. The Scriptures. I think we should determine how we dress based on what the Bible says. I think we should determine what we eat based on what the Bible says. I think we should determine how much to sleep based on what the Bible says. If there's a Bible principle found concerning any area of life, then we ought to follow it. And if we don't, I don't know that we can accurately portray ourselves as the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, it's unwise not to ask counsel of the Lord before making a decision. You remember back there in the book of Joshua, the people of Israel, was it the Gibeonites that came to them, and you know they got their holy socks, and I'm not talking about their sanctified socks, I'm talking about the ones that had holes in them. They put on their socks with holes in them, and their old shoes where the soles were falling off, and they got some moldy bread that they set aside for a couple of weeks, and some rotten bananas, some black bananas and such, and you know they came, "Oh, we came from a long distance, far away." Reminds me of the seven dwarfs. When's the last time you took a bath? Recently. We're far, far away, yeah. Far away to an ant, maybe. And so it says that they asked not counsel of the mouth of the Lord, the people of Israel, before they made an alliance with those people. Because God had told the people of Israel, you don't make any alliances with the people of the land. You utterly drive them out. But when these people came, hey, they said they were from a far country. It looked like they were from a far country. But had they asked God, He could have told them, I know what your senses are telling you, but you need not trust your senses. You need to trust Me. You need to trust what I say. Listen to me, young people. You don't always know what's best. You think you know what's best. And you can't even contemplate how you could possibly be wrong. But you are. Not always. But you are sometimes. Therefore, if you don't turn to the Bible and consult the Lord in every decision that you make, you're bound to make a mistake. How do we determine the will of God? The Bible. The Bible, the Bible, the Bible. I can't stress that enough. But there are other avenues that the Bible gives to us. But it all starts with the Bible. There's the principle in the book of Proverbs that in the multitudes of counselors, there's safety. In the multitudes of counselors, there is safety. In other words, we are to consult our spiritual authorities. And all of us have at least two, if not three, spiritual authorities that we can consult in trying to determine the will of God. The first is our parents. Let me start with Exodus 20, where God gives us the Ten Commandments. In verse 12, it says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Honor thy father and thy mother. The book of Proverbs says that says something very similar over and over again in the first 11 chapters. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. And it says, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. They'll make you look good. It'll make you look good if you listen to mom and dad. And notice, not in the Old Testament law, nor here in this principle in the book of Proverbs, does it say specifically what the commandments of mom and dad might be. Because it doesn't matter. The Bible doesn't say, young people, thou shalt wash the dishes when you are between the ages of 5 and 15. But mom and dad say, wash the dishes, it's good for you. Cut the grass. Weed the garden. It's good for you. And you're sitting there thinking, how is that good for me? There's all kinds of ways it's good for you. In all labor there's profit. Have any of you heard this commercial on the radio? The mom, she's in the kitchen. Maybe it was upstairs in your bedroom. You hear the kid, clum, 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 clum. It's not here, Mom. Maybe it was downstairs in the bathroom. Clum, 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 clum. It's not here, Mom. Maybe it was in the living room. It's not here, Mom. Oh, here it is. I'm so sorry. It was right next to me the whole time. And it says, parents finding creative ways to keep their kids active. The kid thought that was a useless exercise. It was building up stamina and burning off calories. It's just good for us to learn to be submissive. Especially for young people to be submissive to parents. As I've said to my children, maybe this church over and over again, if you learn to submit to your parents and obey them willfully and cheerfully, you will do the same to God. But if you rebel against your parents and you disobey them, you do what you do out of constraint, out of obligation, not out of joy, then you're going to do the same thing when it comes to obeying God. Because honoring your parents is honoring God. And I'm getting ahead of myself, but if you trust and if you honor God, you will honor the spiritual authorities in your life. Period. If you love God and you trust Him, because some young people, some older people, I trust God, but I sure don't trust my spiritual authorities. Then you don't trust God. Because God says, I gave you your mom and I gave you your dad and you follow them. Doesn't matter what their commands are. You follow them. There's another spiritual authority that all of us have or should have, and that's a pastor. I talked about this at the youth rally in my message. S.M. Davis, he talked about it in his message last month's rally about the pastor. In Ephesians 4:12, it says that God gave some pastors for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, that is the building up of the body of Christ. Hebrews 13:7, obey them that have the rule over you. And submit yourselves as they watch for your souls. Again, it doesn't say in regards to which commandments. Because sometimes a pastor may ask you to do something that you don't find specifically in the Bible. But if it doesn't contradict the Bible, I think you should honor that man, whomever he might be. I have our leaders meet certain requirements if they're going to teach and do such. There's certain things I want them to do. Not all of those things are found specifically in the Bible. And someone can complain and say, well, I don't find that in the Bible. Well, nowhere does God say we can't do that. And so I might be having you restrict a liberty you have. But the Apostle Paul oftentimes restricts his liberties that he had for the well-being and the benefit of the churches. So sometimes I think it's good for us to do the same. But here, the subject is discerning the will of God. I just can't figure out the will of God. You pour yourself into the Bible. You read it. You study it. You look passages up. You try to find an answer. And you say, I just can't find anything. And I've asked people and they say the Bible just doesn't have any direction in that matter. Okay? Your next step is to find your spiritual authorities. Mom, Dad, what do I do? And they give an answer, and that settles it. It's over. Mom and Dad don't really have a preference, don't have an answer. Pastor, what do you think? Pastor says, this is what I would do. You have an answer. You no longer have to struggle with what the will of God is. Do you remember, those of you that were there have listened to Pastor S.M. Davis's message? He said there were some things that he just wasn't sure about, wasn't sure what he should do. And when he stepped down and had, for the first time in a long time, a pastor himself, he told him, I'm not going to worry about those things anymore. I'm just going to ask you, and I'm going to do what you say. And if someone questions it, I'm just going to tell them I'm doing what my pastor told me to do. He wasn't going to worry about it. He wasn't going to fret about it anymore. He was going to trust his pastor because God says in His Word, trust your pastor, obey him. He watches for your soul. Seek his counsel, seek his advice, and do what he says. Do what he says. And sometimes some of you have a third spiritual authority, and that's your husband. In Genesis chapter 3, when Adam and Eve sinned, this was part of the curse put upon Eve, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. That's part of the curse. A husband's a ruler over his wife. In 1 Corinthians 14:35, it says, and if they will learn anything, that is the women, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for a woman to speak in the church. If she has a question, what's she to do? Husband? What do you think? And the principle from Numbers chapter 30 could also apply here, where if a woman made a vow unto the Lord and her husband heard it and said no, overruled, she didn't have to keep her vow. But if he heard the vow and he kept silent, she had to keep the vow. He had authority over her. And so if a wife is wondering what to do, husband, what would you have me to do? And again, ladies, you just do it, and when someone questions you about it, I'm just doing what my husband said. And how can they argue with that if they're a good Christian person? So again, the Bible. Start with the Bible. And then our spiritual authorities, including our parents, our pastor, could be other pastors or preachers, or even elders in the church, older people in the church, and then your husband, and the multitudes of counselors, there is safety. By the way, and I don't just say that because I am most of your pastors. Pastor, I'm most of your... However that's said grammatically. You should follow the advice of your pastor, probably before the advice of other pastors, because your pastor is more familiar with you and your life and where you're at. But what if there is no specific guidance in the Bible? And what if your spiritual authorities have no preference one way or another? What do you do in those circumstances? Well, let me condition this with this statement. If you're walking with the Lord and you're doing everything that you know is right, and don't forget, you could fool yourself into thinking that's true when it's not. And by the way, that's why the first step is not follow your heart, don't follow your feelings, don't follow your own reason. That shouldn't be the first step, the Bible. But if you go to the Bible and you find nothing, if you go to your pastor, you go to your parents, and you get no help, in other words, they leave the decision up to you, okay, then what can you do if you're following? Because, by the way, your parents or your pastor, if you're not walking in fellowship with God like you should and you're not doing everything that you know is right, they'll probably point it out to you. They'll probably say, you know, the reason you're having such a difficulty in discerning God's will here is because you're not doing this. And don't say, well, but that's not what I'm asking about. No, they're saying, do that. Then God's will in this area will become more sure. But if they say, hey, you're walking with God, from what I can tell, you're doing everything you know is right, then I think you can, in some cases, maybe throw out a fleece or maybe follow your heart. Because the Bible does say, delight thyself also in the Lord. You got to do that. And He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. Your parents and your pastor, they have no preference. They don't see the difficulty in you discerning God's will due to something of your own fault, then you can use some of these other things that I mentioned ought not to be primary. You see, and I'm saying all this because, you know, this account that we just read of Gideon, it really begins back much further. Because, you know, Gideon, I don't know how recent you've read through the book of Judges. But you read through chapter 6, and Gideon was one hard-headed feller. I mean, he was. You know, the angel of the Lord came knocking on his door. Thy almighty man of valor. And notice what he says. This is in verse number 11. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash. And Abiezrite and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. notice what Gideon says. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us. If, we mean if. He just said he was. What do you mean if? But if he is here, stay here just a little bit. Look at verse 14. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Gideon! God said in your own strength, He's going to go with you. He's going to fight for you. He's called you. He sent you. What more do you need? And again, we look at Gideon and we'll be critical of him, but this is what Christians do all the time. Oh, well, I don't know what God wants me to do. Yeah, because you haven't opened up your Bible in 6 years. No wonder you don't know. Oh, I don't know what I should do. Have you asked your pastor? He'd tell you in 2 minutes. But even when, if he did tell you, you'd probably be like Gideon. Oh, but I don't have the resources. My family's poor. He made all kinds of excuses, by the way, here in the text. Show me a sign. So then he comes to fleece, and he's still unsure. Was it last year, a couple years back, I preached on there from chapter 7, where Gideon, he went to the camp meeting. He went down into the camp of the Midianites, and him and the 100 men that were with him, he overheard this guy down there carrying on about this dream he had. And what it meant was that Gideon was going to come and destroy them. And so there again, God is confirming to Gideon, yes, this is my will. Will you just go do it? Again, God's will is not always that difficult, especially if you follow the principles of the Bible. Search the Bible for an answer, then ask your spiritual authorities. I don't know what the statistic would be, but I would think 95% to 99% of the time, that would give you the answer that you're looking for. I know there are those times when the Bible won't have the answer, and even your spiritual authorities will not be able to advise you as to what to do. It's a decision that you're going to have to make, and it's those decisions that God uses to mature us. In those cases, just do what you know is right. And then, I guess you could follow the desires of your heart. Because if your parents don't have an answer, the Bible doesn't have an answer, your pastor doesn't have an answer, other counselors don't have an answer, then maybe God is allowing, has brought you along, He's matured you to where you can make this decision on your own. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for our time together tonight. Lord, I know these principles are very basic, but Lord, I believe that it's instrumental for us to understand them, to live victorious lives. Lord, Gideon was fearful. His fear caused him to doubt Your word and Your will, even when You brought it to his attention specifically multiple times. God, help us to be on guard that we do not the same type of thing. Help us when You have revealed Your will to us to do it. Lord, especially if it's straightforward from the Bible. And Lord, also help us to learn to lean on our spiritual authorities. You have given them to us to help us in our decisions. And God, I'm thankful that You have given us a multitude of counselors upon which we can trust. And so God, bless the message. Use it for Thy glory. Use it for our good, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll just pray.